You don't have to wait till you're in your car to hear what Cap and J-Hood are talking about. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000. Yeah.
What's up and welcome in to the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. With my friend David Kaplan in Connecticut covering college basketball for NBC Sportsnet, I'm Jonathan Hood in our first Midwest studios. And open phone lines for you, 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. Hit us up on Instagram and Twitter at CapJHood. Also saying what's up to you on Twitch, watching the show on ESPN 1000 Chicago on Twitch. Thanks so much for being part of our Friday morning. Carmen Yurko will crosstalk with them in an hour from now and get their thoughts on their show. And also, we are asking the question, because Coming to America 2, Electric Boogaloo, will take place this weekend. I guess it's starting now, Cap. I mean, if I wasn't here, I probably would start early this morning watching Coming to America, but I'll do that later on tonight. It's going to be Coming to America 2, which is great, Arsenio Hall and Eddie Murphy. And we're asking what would be a great sequel if you had your druthers. What would be a great sequel? We got a number of great responses so far. And I like your list, too. You're saying, you know what, because it's in recent memory, movies that's been made the last 5-6 years, you know, have another spin. I think that it makes sense, Cap, and here's why. I don't know what the theater industry is like in this COVID-19. Like, I don't see myself going back to the theaters anytime soon, but because of HBO Max and other platforms like Amazon Prime, instead of going to the theater, just kind of like instead of going to a ball game, I'm watching on the big screen. And I'll be watching, like, Coming to America. That would have made huge box office if that was at the theater. Huge.
Hoodie, what if we remade Draft Day and we got Sonny Weaver Jr. to take a monster deal from George McCaskey to remake the Bears?
Well, Ryan and Matt are our football guys.
Have we gotten the quarterback situation completely right? No. Have we won enough games? No. Everything else is there.
Weaver, you're trying to take my team away from me, aren't you? You know Virginia,
yes.
Don't you? That's unbelievable.
What if they don't need to offer him a monster deal? What if he's trying to pick up the pieces after the absolute abomination that Draft Day actually turned out to be for him?
That's a fine.
What do you think about that,
Excuse
Cap?
Me? I didn't clear my throat. No, because
what? Did you not hear this man cough? Did you, Danny? Did was that
100%? He cleared his throat right on the air.
I think that was the bottle I had here. I just got down.
You're just anything to get away from a dollar. That's $3 today for Bernie's Book Bank. That's $3. Three.
So did the owner not say at the end of that movie, "We had a great day," and they got all these great players, and now here comes George and Ted in, and they're going to offer him the keys to the kingdom, and he's going to remake the Bears.
Everybody says they have a great day on draft day. You show me the GM who tells you they had a bad day, or the owner who tells you they had a bad day after the draft is complete. The real question is,
I've always believed. Go ahead.
Like, I believe that the Browns probably fired Kevin Costner 2 years later because that draft was such an abomination. That's how it plays out in my mind.
I've always believed that you could literally not have to send any reporters to cover the draft. Mm-hmm. You could take the quotes from the year before, whether it's going into spring training, I'm in the best shape of my life. Well, why were you a fat ass prior to that coming in? Why are you all of a sudden now in shape? Or we never anticipated he'd be there when we were picking. I mean, come on, man. Well, that's what they always say.
Yeah, that's enough of you taking shots at me. So the White Sox fans drink the most of any Major League Baseball fan base, according to a study. Okay, so I saw this as well. NJOnlineGambling.com. Cap, I think you've seen this as well. Online gambling site.
This is breaking news.
Whoa.
Sponsored by the PointsBet Sports.
Just a moment.
On Chicago's home for sports.
Hang on.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
We turn to veteran newsman Dan Zetterman with breaking news here.
Come on, Danny.
Cap'n Jay Hood.
Gentlemen,
make it big.
From the Chicago Blackhawks official Twitter account, Brent Seabrook says he is unable to play and announces the end of his 15-year career due to injury. Brent Seabrook is retiring.
We turn to Jeff Meller with the fantasy ramifications of Brent Seabrook retiring from the NHL.
You can officially release Brent Seabrook from your fantasy hockey roster.
All right, thank you. Cap, there you have one of the keys to the Blackhawks and their run to the championship. There it is, Brent Seabrook stepping away.
Great. So let's get back to talking about movies.
Oh, that's a big deal. That is a huge... Will Brent Seabrook's jersey hang from the rafters at the United Center? I mean, Brent Seabrook, he's not a Hall of Famer, right? But Brent Seabrook is an all-time great Hawk in what he meant to that franchise on those cup runs. You can't just move back to sequels of Tommy Boy with a dead Chris Farley.
I mean, I can't imagine how they could have room to get it up there, because we're going to have Noah, Norm Van Leer, Derek Rose's
separate
jersey.
Rafter, separate rafter. The Bulls have their own rafter.
No, people want to retire so many jerseys in this city that there's going to be no room for his.
So you're saying his won't hang up there with Duncan Keith's, Jonathan Taves, Patrick Kane's, Marian Hossa, and Coach Q. They're not going to put those up there.
How many are we going to retire, Danny?
We're a lucky city to have such great athletes. I mean, Brent Seabrook, Duncan Keith, Jonathan Taves, Patrick Kane, Coach Q. They're the reason we have those three cups. I don't see how you don't honor him with that. You can let someone else wear his number.
I think
one of the great defensemen.
Well, that's different than retiring his number, though.
Well, you hang the number 7 up there, but somebody else can wear it because you only have so many numbers.
Three-time.
Well, then it's not retired.
Well, listen, all I'm asking is if you're going to hang a banner in the rafters honoring Brent Seabrook for his accomplishments here.
A 3-time cup winner and someone who's been with the hockey clubs since he was 22 back in 2007, 2008. Don't forget the hockey show, Saturday mornings here on ESPN 1000. A thorough breakdown from PB, Pat Boyle, and Brian Hanley right here on Chicago's Home for Sports.
Yeah, let me know when the breaking news sounder goes off and we can announce Antoine Vermette's jersey's getting retired too. I mean, really?
Well, it's official that he's stepping away. I think it was worth at least mentioning when the Hawks have a press release.
I'm talking about the retired jersey part of it.
Well, the thing is,
how many are we really retiring?
No, I agree with you. The thing is, he's not even the best number 7 in Hawks history. Chris Chelios wore 7 before him.
But they're never going to retire that, right? Because it's just not a good relationship.
That'll get better.
Yeah. I would think, if anything...
What do you mean not a good relationship? Chris is working for the Hawks again.
Oh, all right, then put it up. Then why isn't it up there? Listen, I'm not arguing. I feel like you completely missed my point of what I was trying to do here, so I'm going to spell it out as clearly as I can. What I was trying to do is talk about the importance of Brent Seabrook to the Blackhawks organization. Not arguing how many numbers we're going to have hanging up there. It's Brent Seabrook announced his retirement. He helped win 3 cups here. How important is he to that franchise?
Okay, but my point is that this is part of a larger discussion. Like, what really goes into deciding to retire someone's jersey? Seriously.
Cap, I don't think that they are serious about that. It was tongue in cheek. There's no way that Brent Seabrook's number would be retired. He's just, you know, amongst some of the all-time great Hawks because of that Stanley Cup run. That's all. No one, this is not a topic. Like, I get it, it's actually too many numbers retired. Like the question about Joakim Noah, whether or not his number should be. Of course not. It should be some of the all-time greats or those that were remembered fondly.
I was trying to give you a jumping off point to talking about Brent Seabrook, what he meant to the organization.
Well, no.
He was a warrior, man. 15 years. I will give him that. He was a warrior.
Okay. That's all we need. Now we'll continue the conversation at 10:30. We won't be here, but we'll continue the conversation at 10:30. 312-332-ESPN. 332-3776 is our phone number. All right, Cap, we still got to talk about this White Sox topic here because we had breaking news interrupt, but we got to get some calls in here about sequels that people want to see. Rod in Lockport's been holding patiently on Cap and Jay Hood here on ESPN 1000. Hey, good morning, Rod.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Well.
What's up, man?
Eddie Murphy's in the movie, it's got to be good.
Rod, are you on a speakerphone? Because you're calling us from Lockport, but you sound like you're in Dalton. All right. Let us know when you get back to the phone. Carlos in Humboldt Park on ESPN 1000 with Cap and Jay Hood. Good morning, Los.
Hey, what's up, guys? I was just wondering, how about another sequel to Menace to Society, man?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I couldn't believe the way Kane went out. I was like, man, you know, I want to see it all over again in the 90s.
Them and as adults now and their kids, are their kids going through what they went through?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He had a kid, so.
Yeah.
No, see how that goes.
I love that as a choice. Yeah, Menace to Society. Got to check that out, Cap. I mean, you got to get more cultured, huh?
How do you know I haven't seen it?
Well, tell us about the storyline.
I have no idea.
All right, back to the
move. They moved to the Atlanta at the end, right, Hoodie?
Well, we all do at some point. Back to the phone lines we go. Taylor is in Hyde Park, and he is lighting it up here on ESPN 1000. Hello, Taylor.
Hey, what's up, guys? I've seen Coming to America 2. It's actually not that bad. I think you'll enjoy it, Hoodie. There's a lot of references to the first one that you got to just see and get. So you'll like that one. I thought Brewster's millions to Brewster's billions. I think in today's age with all the spending money and, you know, that kind of concept, I think that'd be kind of really cool to do a sequel on that or some sort of remake.
Is who's Richard Pryor?
I don't know. I mean, I just hope it's not Kevin Hart, but other than that, I think I'll be okay.
Oh, man. That's a tough one, man. He just took a shot at little Kevin Hart. Tell you what.
Wedding Crashers?
Of course.
They're now in this wealthy family. Oh, my God. Dude, it could be amazing.
Oh, I think, of course. It's out on the top of people's minds. People still talk about that movie. Absolutely. Oh, by the way, Danny, who else is in this movie, this Coming to America? There's other comedians, right? What's that guy that's...
Tracy Morgan's in it.
Tracy
Morgan's hilarious.
Yeah?
You don't think so?
I'm just waiting. I mean, I know he's a comedian. I'm just waiting to laugh at his first joke.
But I think his personality, his persona is funny. Like I used
Look
to
at
like
me.
That.
I'm making a funny face and I'm talking like this. So now I'm funny.
Exactly.
Really?
I always wonder if he's doing a character or if that's who he really is. Like, is that character so deep that he never shows any break in it? Or is that like who Tracy Morgan really is? He was great on 30 Rock with Tina Fey and Alec Baldwin. That was a funny show. He was great.
You know what? I don't get it. Just me personally.
Well, that's
I
why
don't
they
get
make
it.
Strawberry. That's why they make vanilla.
Thank you, Mac. I just think that's...
take off after the Sox win the World Series this year.
I personally don't get it, Cap. Like, for me, you mentioned Kevin Hart. I mean, what time is it? Oh, yeah, it's 15 minutes of his 15 minutes of fame. Like Kevin Hart's good. But, I mean, listen, here's what happens, though, right? You get on a roll, you get overexposed. That's the problem. But you got to take the money, right, Cap? I mean, when you're in that spot and you're Kevin Hart and they're asking you to do every commercial and they're asking you to do every comedy show, I get it. When they call, you got to take the money. But sometimes if you're in everything, man, you get overexposed. Yeah, an audience gets tired of you quickly.
But Derez Zetterman had a great reporting piece that I heard him say recently. Didn't Kevin Hart say he started taking more commercials, Derez,
was Chris Rock.
Because of divorce?
Chris Rock, you see him in those phone commercials and stuff. So he was in an interview with Howard Stern, and he said now he takes roles and jobs he wouldn't have pre-divorce just because he wants to make back some of that divorce money.
That's something, man. I get it. All right. So we'll take more of your phone calls coming up. We see you on hold. We're going to get to your phone calls. Cap and I want to find out from you, because Coming to America is happening this weekend on Amazon. Is there a sequel that you love to see? Also, Sox fans, we are number one at something. We'll break down that list of drunkards at ballparks. That's coming up next right here on Cap and Jay Hood.
David Kaplan. Jonathan Hood. Welcome, fans. This is Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the new ESPN Chicago app.
Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app with David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. Follow us on Twitter at the Capman, at TweetJHood, at ESPN 1000. Well, Cap, while you're in Connecticut covering college basketball for NBC Sportsnet, I'm dealing with the wrath of Danny Zetterman. You're off. You're on vacation for a couple days because now it's me and Danny back and forth. And
boy.
Danny's not happy with you, and I'm trying to just say, hey, we got to keep the show on the road. And Danny, He's not happy with you and your coverage of Brent Seabrook. So Danny,
I was kidding. He was an amazing Blackhawk, okay? I get it. He was an amazing Hawk. I just don't think he gets his number retired.
I think that's it. Missed my point with the number retired. And they, oh, I don't know, how many jerseys are we talking about? You took Brent Seabrook, one of probably the best defensemen in Hawks history, a three-time Cup champion, a leader on that team, three overtime playoff winners he scored. I think you took me saying that as, let's discuss how many numbers should be retired for each team, a totally different way. I wanted to celebrate Brent Seabrook. I thought that Brent Seabrook, one of the all-time greats in Blackhawk history, deserved a little bit more than 30 seconds.
I agree with you, but Cap had some movies in mind that he wanted to.
And then he wanted to get to how many numbers is too many numbers. Like, the point was Brent Seabrook.
He was a hell of a Blackhawk, man. A hell of a Blackhawk. And they would be so fortunate if they could draft another guy like that, because that guy was a warrior. That's it. I was kidding. I was kidding.
He's giving a eulogy.
My God.
The Grim Capper now is saying, no, Seabrook's retired, not dead. He's still around. I mean, he you think about the championship years, and Seabrook being part of that is big. One of the great defensemen, definitely, for the Chicago Blackhawks. Now, here's the thing. As this team starts to transition, right, they have some youth, and they also have some veterans, and the mix is so good, is good so far, Cap. But you just know that that's just the first shoe to drop. Like, obviously, because of injuries, he can't do it anymore at age 34. I know that's devastating for him. But that's just a circle of life in the National Hockey League, man. They're going to be able to get more young people in there moving forward here until they have the team that they want. Thank goodness that at least you still have Kane on the team as one of the great all-time Blackhawks. But you just know moving forward that they're going to have more and more youth on that team to have a new look for the hockey club.
Yeah, and look, Pat Boyle tweeted that he scored three overtime playoff winners, and that is an amazing, amazing stat. I would have to believe that's probably the Hawks' record. I'm trying to think if Kane had more than that as overtime game winners, but he goes out because of injury. He goes out as, I think Danny's right, one of the, not the best, but one of the best defensemen in Blackhawks history. He was a stud, man. The guy was a warrior.
How about that, Danny? That good?
I also said about the three overtime goals. I also pointed that out in my little rant about how Brent Seabrook deserved more love. Listen, I just feel like on the day one of the all-time greats in that team retired, it deserved a little bit more attention than you wanted to give it.
Let me add, too, it's not just, you know, you point out those stats. He came up big in huge moments in the playoffs, which is something that great players do. That's kind of like what cements their legacy. But everybody will tell you, too, that Brent Seabrook inside the locker room during those cup runs was probably the, you know, most outspoken guy. And, you know, there's a reason why he wore the A on his chest for so long. He was critical, not just a great defensive pairing with Duncan Keith for the entirety of their career, but the leadership that he displayed in the locker room was something that cannot be diminished. So for everything that he did on the ice, that he did a lot inside the locker room as well to kind of
team. I'm reminded of, remember when they were playing the Red Wings, I believe it was 2013, and Jonathan Toews got back-to-back-to-back penalties, and he went into the penalty box and whacked him on the top of the head and said, dude, we can't do this without you leading the way. And then Toews came out and played really well and said after the game, that guy got my mind straightened out, and we got back to doing what we do, and we won.
How about that? How about that, Danny? Good? You like that? Good?
I'm feeling better. Feeling better.
Good? Good? All right.
Would you guys like to hear?
I mean, third all-time in Hawks games in the Indian head sweater. So, yeah, I'm all good, man.
Would you guys like to relive one of his greatest moments as a player before we cap this one off? Is that cool?
Sure, absolutely.
So this is the game-winning goal against the Detroit Red Wings in 2013, the Game 7 winner courtesy of NBC Sports.
That one gloved down by Erickson. Builder to him now, and Nyquist, oh my, he's run into by Boland. Right back ahead comes Seabrook with a shot. He scores! going to work himself into that area, and that's Brent Seabrook. The hit, picks up the puck, and Seabrook comes in, takes a quick wrist shot right over the glove of Jimmy Howard. The neutral zone, not a lot of room all night long. Seabrook finds it. Quick little wrister, skate left, shoot right. And the reaction from the Blackhawk bench.
Doc Emmerich, yeah, and Eddie Olczyk on the call. And by the way, fans, noise, crowd. How about that, Cap?
Crazy. I was at that game, and that's right after Nicklas Hjalmarsson scored to what we thought was going to be the game winner with like a minute left, and the official with a call on a penalty. He blew his whistle and wiped out the goal, and everyone went, oh, God. If we lose that way, that'll be the worst. And then Seabrook, as you heard the call from Doc Emmerich, that was absolutely spectacular. And 1,114 regular season games. Pretty crazy.
How about that, Danny? Like that? Good stuff? Sound?
Feeling a little better.
Yeah, a little better. A little sound, you know, a little retrospective. You know?
Well, I knew that Meller appreciated Brent Seabrook.
Yep. So there you go. See, he's just a little better, though. It's not 100%, though. He says just a little better.
You know me. I hold grudges. It takes me a while to get over
it. Come on!
It's
a fun Friday.
I'm working on it.
I don't know what to do.
Danny, Danny may have already said this, but the only players to play more games in a Blackhawks Indian head sweater, Stan Mikita played 1,396, Duncan Keith 1,162, Brent Seabrook third at 1,114. He put his body on the line. He played through injury. He was a consummate teammate, a warrior. And when you add in Chris Chelios's reemergence with the franchise, and you have the late Pitt Martin who died a few years ago, they will retire number 7 for the three of them.
How about that,
Take
Danny?
That.
Yeah, good, Danny.
And now I want to know where he got that from, that they're going to retire the number. When I first said it, you guys acted as if I was an idiot, like I was a moron. How dare I suggest it? And it derailed the whole Brent Seabrook talk. Literally, we're not even 20 minutes later, and he is now saying they're going to retire the jersey. Mike, can I go home?
There's no way. There's too many of these jerseys being retired. You know what? Look at these numbers. You know what? He should retire his jersey. Take that. In the same segment.
The more and more you hang around, the more and more Meller's right. Cap is an alien. I am telling you, that was like such an alien thing to do.
Cap is just gaslighting everybody.
Let me just tell you something.
Here's behind the scenes. I'm going to pull back. I'm pulling back the curtain.
Oh,
Cap went to Twitter and he's like, what is Mark Lazarus saying about Seabrook? What is Scott Powers saying about Seabrook? What is Pat Boyle saying about Seabrook? All right, they say his jersey should be retired.
No,
guess
actually.
What? The jersey deserves to be retired. That's my take.
Yeah, you know what? Not one of them wrote about Pitt Martin. Not one.
Yeah.
Most of them don't even know who Pitt Martin is.
Right.
A. B. I'm going to give credit. There was something on Twitter. Do you think Sylvie's sitting at home right now going, do I tweet at Brent Seabrook why the Catman's disrespecting him?
Oh.
Or do I just tweet about Brent Seabrook?
Just trying to have a feel-good Friday.
I love you, Sylvie.
All this nonsense. All right.
We're talking about hockey, not the NBA.
Indeed we are. We're just having a feel-good Friday, and Danny's upset.
I don't feel good anymore.
Okay, we've got the Friday folder, and that's
retire the damn number.
Okay, all right, that's enough, Cap. That's enough. The Friday folder or Friday files. One of the others next.
Small hand, mother.
Hey, let me tell you about Club Hawthorne and PointsBet, two of my great gambling partners. Club Hawthorne is where you can make all your sports wagers on the horse side of things. PointsBet is where you can make all of your other sports wagers. Download both apps, the Club Hawthorne app and the PointsBet app. You can find the latest lines, the latest information on the horses, and you can start to pad your bankroll. It's PointsBet. It's Club Hawthorne. Those are where you should be doing all of your sports and horse gambling.
Cap. J-Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Because it's Friday.
It's time for the Friday Folder.
And you ain't got shit to do.
On the Cap and J-Hood Show.
Still to come here on
Friday Folder. I was about to say, brought to you by Apt Electronics in Glenview. Hoodie.
Still to come on the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show, we'll hear from Carmen DeFalco with Carm with his best trends. Getting you ready for the weekend, All-Star Weekend in Atlanta, All-Star Sunday, I should say, in Atlanta, college basketball and more. Carm's with the best trends coming up at 9:50 here on ESPN 1000. We turn now to Danny Zetterman with things that we didn't get to. Usually we've got a lot of UFO and Brent Seabrook and a lot of other nonsense that we talk about, but there's a lot of stuff that hit the cutting room floor that we never get to all week. Imagine that. We've got like 10 or 20 things we never get to, but we all stick them in the Friday folder or the Friday files. Here's Danny Zetterman with more.
Gentlemen, just establishing the big news of the day to everyone except for Cap. Brent Seabrook announces his playing career is over after 15 seasons.
Now retire on his number along with Chelios and Pitt Martin. Thank you.
Are you going to ban the audio of your initial reaction laughing me off the show when I suggested that? Will that be retired?
Absolutely not.
He's retiring himself.
Again, be banned audio.
All right, gentlemen, let's move on to the folder. Greg McDermott suspended by Creighton after racially insensitive comments.
Well, Cap, we've talked about this, and I said that he apologized to his team and the school. You know, the players want him back, but you just don't say, hey, to try to rally the troops, you don't say, hey, we all got to be on the same plantation. You're coaching black players. That doesn't resonate well.
Yeah, look, I know Greg. It's not like we're friendly. I haven't talked to him in a long time, but I've known him through the years, always found him to be a really good guy. But you're exactly right, Jonathan. You can't say what he said. And while 18 and 19-year-old kids have said, hey, coach, apologize, we're good, I do think there has to be a level of accountability. Do I think he should lose his job? No.
Danny?
Gentlemen, the Steelers signed quarterback Ben Roethlisberger to a new contract for 2021.
Well, we speculated, Cap, exactly what the numbers would be for Ben Roethlisberger. He said, I don't care about money. I'd come back for free. Well, the Players Association said, well, F that. You actually are going to come back for some kind of money. And you know what? That could be a sweetheart of a deal for the Steelers.
Yeah, I think he'll be highly motivated. He did take a significant pay cut, but he's made his money. He wants to go out on top, and they say he's training like a maniac, and he wants to really prove to people that he could do this one more time. So, yeah, I have no issues, and I think you're right. It could be a very good thing for the Pittsburgh Steelers if they keep him healthy.
Think about it, Cap. You can go 12-4, get bounced out of the first round of the playoffs, or go backwards as an organization. They don't necessarily have a guy in the pipeline, a young guy, that's ready to take Roethlisberger's place. So they say, you know what, let's run it back one more time because he increases our chances to win. So I totally get it.
Yeah.
Tiger Woods' possible reckless driving led to a search warrant for the SUV's black box.
Yeah, they also were very, very clear that there was zero chance that he was either under the influence of a drug or an alcohol substance. And they simply want to look at the black box because maybe he was going at an excessive speed. Look, when you speed and when you maybe fall asleep at the wheel and maybe you are coming around a curve too quickly. A lot of things can happen. Again, I don't think he did anything in terms of drugs or alcohol, but I agree they have to look into everything.
Yeah, they're doing their due diligence. As I told you, I thought it was very odd that the police just told you, like, yep, nope, no alcohol, nothing. I mean, usually they don't give that kind of information up front unless they're completely sure. Now they're going to take a look at the black box. Yeah, we'll see what happens, but I'm just glad that Tiger's alive and his kids can see him, and maybe he'll play golf again. We'll see.
Does every car have a black box? Does every car have one of those? Like, Danny's got a pretty new vehicle. Does he have a black box in there?
Most vehicles after, like, 2006 are equipped with the equipment. It's called a black box, essentially.
It's called an event data recorder.
Yes, and that's essentially what it is.
As of May 2018, almost all common U.S. vehicles come standard with a black box. So it's relatively new.
Well, thank God my 84 Maroon Caprice Classic didn't have one of those, so no one could check my situation.
You can get away with it.
Yep.
All right, gentlemen, MLB-wide, Lou Gehrig Day is going to be held on June 2nd.
Cap, what are your memories of covering Lou Gehrig in your day?
He was a really good guy. We did a podcast together in his later years with the Yankees. I mean,
what?
Look.
Yeah?
There are a few things that scare me. And that disease is so horrific and so awful that I think it's really, really cool that Major League Baseball wants to call more attention to Lou Gehrig's disease, ALS. And he was an amazing player and, by all accounts, a wonderful person. So, yeah, I think it's really cool that they're going to do that.
I thought it was very odd, though, that the mic you used had just this resounding echo. What's up? What's up? What's up? Thanks for being with us on the podcast.
I am the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
That's what I remember the most. Like, boy, that echo, man. I mean, that was all over the stadium. People could hear it.
Gentlemen, I'm going to combine three stories into one folder, okay? Tom Brady's rookie card sells for a record $1.32 million. Michael Jordan's game-worn Air Jordans are going to hit the auction block, and Kobe Bryant's childhood basketball hoop is selling for $37,200. I'm putting them all together because this memorabilia is going for big, big coin.
This is like your TV show, Cap. Was it Change for the Game?
A piece of the game.
Piece of the game, yeah, just like that. It's just like memorabilia is still hot and heavy, isn't it?
It is. People are always going to want to collect certain things that maybe have some childhood attachment to them, or it's something that, you know, they feel like interests them. I think the Tom Brady rookie card's really cool. The Michael Jordan rookie card, really cool. The Honus Wagner card has gone for crazy, crazy money. Again, if it's if you told me I had stupid money and there was a piece of cool Secretariat memorabilia, I'd probably buy it.
His silk underwear, right? You definitely would get that. The silks.
I already have that.
Oh.
I already have that.
Wow. Wear that around the house.
Gentlemen, in 1983, Terry Bradshaw was Tom Brady.
Did you hear this story? Like, Terry Bradshaw goes into a hospital and uses the alias Tom Brady as a name. And, of course, Tom Brady, we know, is an all-time great. How interesting is that? Is that he used the alias Tom Brady so no one knows it's him? And Tom Brady actually is a man and a great one.
Wait. Say this again.
Terry Bradshaw.
Explain this to me.
Terry Bradshaw goes in for surgery. He goes in with the alias Tom Brady as a name, not Terry Bradshaw, so no one would know it's him while he still played.
It was in 1983, so Tom Brady was 6 years old, six or seven.
And now Tom Brady actually becomes an all-time great. He just chose Tom Brady. It's like when you go to the hotel, Cap, and you go under an alias. He went under an alias as Tom Brady in the hospital while he still played.
That's the most bizarre thing I've ever heard. That is insane.
Is that odd to you? Like, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exceptionally odd.
Because he didn't want he didn't want other teams to know that he was getting that surgery. So that's why he went in as Tom Brady.
It was shoulder surgery.
Yeah.
In Louisiana.
Do you use an alias when you stay in a hotel?
Most times. And I had to change it because of Sylvie when I was in Alaska. Because he trolled me when I was in Fairbanks and didn't know what time it was. He'd wake me up at the crack of dawn and wake me up, and it messed up my sleep schedule when I was in Alaska for a week. So I had to, now I go with an alias. Now I'm Bill Curtis.
That's funny, because the only time I've ever gone as an alias was because I was afraid Sylvie was going to get me at spring training.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the only time I've ever done it.
Because he did that. Now wherever I go, even if he doesn't know if I'm on vacation, I go use an alias. I'm Bill Curtis, Channel 2 News. I'm always some old reporter. How about that?
You shouldn't have told us that, because I'll keep trying. Then
all the old reporters. I mean, you'll never get it, man.
Walter Jacobson,
Gian Greco, comma Mark. I'll be him.
Can we say that?
I'll be Weigel, comma Tim. I'll just keep going through the Rolodex of names.
All right, gentlemen. Ooh. Irv Cross, former NFL player who became the first black network TV sports analyst, died at 81.
You know, Cap, during our days watching the NFL during those times, you just had Musburger as the anchor, Irv Cross, the former player. You had Jimmy the Greek as the gambling analyst, and you had Phyllis George in the other chair as a reporter. It was perfect. It was streamlined. Irv Cross meant so much to me because that was the first coverage I watched as a kid. Him as an NFL analyst, and that was solid. Now you got 18 people. You got a clown car of analysts telling you the same thing. Irv Cross had one opinion, and that's the only opinion that mattered in the NFL during that time.
He was awesome. And I remember, was it Jane Kennedy was also on one of those shows?
Correct, Miss America.
And the funny thing is, gambling was so taboo back then, and Jimmy the Greek Snyder, he's all over the show. Now gambling is, oh my God, it's bringing in tens of millions of tax dollars. We don't have a gambling analyst on any of those shows. It's funny how things have flipped.
A black analyst and a woman reporter in the early 80s, completely taboo, something that was totally out of the box for CBS, and they did that. So
awesome.
I mean, it's incredible history right there. Incredible history. So, you know, we want to just send a shout-out to Irv Cross, because that guy, him with the CBS eye, turning it to Brent going over to Irv, that's all you need. Now you got 18 guys. You don't need 18 guys to tell you what's happening in the NFL football. But your point is well taken. Where's the gambling guy at the same table as the NFL analyst and the anchor? Like, how come Kurt Menefee doesn't have a gambling guy right next to him, right? Because that's where we're going.
Like, these guys all make their picks, and then the gambling guy goes, you guys are way off, man. The Bears are a live dog today. And I mean, that would be awesome.
That should be your role. You just step in there
I would love that.
That would be great. Hey, let's talk about some of the best trends around sports for the weekend. Carmen DeFalco will join us here on Cap and J-Hood.
David Kaplan.
Jonathan Hood.
Our new morning show. This is Cap and J-Hood.
On ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
Well, Cap, you can understand that Carmen is really distraught about the Brent Seabrook retiring, so we're not going to have Carm right now. He needs some time. He's taking a knee right now, so he's a little bit upset, so we'll try Carm next Friday.
All good. Yeah, all good. All love and peace. Yeah. Love and peace.
Yeah, he just doesn't have the opportunity. You know, he would tell us about today's trends, but you can understand with the Seabrook news breaking, Danny, he's just not. He just can't bring up the words. So
truth be told, if we're going to be completely honest, he's really upset about the Seabrook news, but he said he can't bring himself to talk to Cap after Cap royally dismissed Seabrook retiring as news.
Oh, my God. Let me give you something, Danny. Here's a nugget for you to chew on over the weekend. This is courtesy of at the One Tab on Twitter, who's a great hockey follow. From the historic 2003 NHL draft, only four players in the entire draft reached 1,000 games played in a single sweater. Brent Seabrook, Dustin Brown, who was a really good playoff player, Patrice Bergeron, and Ryan Getzlaff. four pretty damn good hockey players.
How about that?
You know when you accidentally insult your significant other and you have to go so far the other way the rest of the day to make up for it? That's what Cap's doing now.
Mm-hmm.
He like crapped all over Brent Seabrook and the fact that this was news. So now he's going as far opposite as possible to make up for it.
And that, you know, this, and then,
no.
Well, and he mentioned Bergeron, who was great on Dancing with the Stars. Hockey player, right to the ABC. It's great. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. We have talked about a slew of topics, including what would be a great sequel, because Coming to America is going to be on Amazon this weekend. Jeff, how much money you think is being lost because there's no theaters? Now, of course, Texas is wide open. I'm just saying, like, it's got to be a lot, right?
Oh,
because
dude, it's
streaming and theater. It would be one of the big box office features, right?
Well, I think studios are hemorrhaging money, theaters as well, like AMC.
That's a fine
that Daniel. It's been devastating. It's been devastating for studios, and the only reason we're getting them through streaming is because it's been such a financial disaster that they're doing anything they can to try and make these movies that they've gone out of their way to put a lot of money into. They're doing whatever they can to salvage something. And that's why you're seeing these companies merging or being swallowed up by other companies. And we're in a new era now of how we're going to watch movies. I don't know what it's going to be like when we actually do get, you know, vaccinated across the country. That's going to be the interesting test case, Hoodie. Are we going to see movies still being released directly to streaming services, or our studio is going to be like, no, we're going back to the old model because we don't want, and will people be willing to go now, or is there just too much available on your streaming services to be like, you know what, I don't need to go to the movies.
Danny?
I'm hesitant to say this on the radio because it was such a cool experience. I don't want everybody to run to do it.
Don't put out the secrets.
But I'm going to do it. It was my wife's birthday a couple weeks ago. Do you know what we did?
No.
We rented a movie theater for new run movies. So movies that would just be out now, it costs $199, and you get 20 tickets. So you can invite your family or your friend, whoever's in your bubble that you're comfortable with, and you sit spaced out. Or they show older movies for $99. You can rent
like
an
entire. How old?
We rented Lego Batman. It was $99. We rented Lego Batman. We invited some family and friends that are like in our bubble. We sat far enough away wearing our masks. The concession stand is open. It was truly phenomenal. You can get like they've got Raya and the Dragon coming. So that's a new movie going into theaters. You could get that for $199. You get 20 tickets so you can bring your 20 closest friends or whatever. I'm telling you, I never want to see a movie any other way in my entire life.
Where'd you find out about this?
My wife found out about it. She somehow, somewhere, she found out about it. We're like, let's do this for your birthday so it actually feels special. And I'm telling you, first of all, it felt so good to be in a movie theater. Second of all, I've got five. It's a family of five. So it cost me $60 just to go into a movie anyways, plus then the concessions.
Yeah.
So for $100, I got the whole theater to myself.
That is amazing.
Why did you put that out there? Now everybody knows this was our little secret.
Well, we were talking theaters. I felt an obligation to the audience.
Did you hear that, 87th and the Dan Ryan? Open up. The hoods are coming.
God, I can't remember the last time I was in a theater.
Well said, Cap.
Got to be like 8 months before the pandemic. I'm not a huge going to the theater before the pandemic. Now, who knows when we'll ever get to go back. But that what Danny described sounds amazing.
That's and romantic, by the way. Also somewhat romantic.
Well, if you rent a theater for just you and the wife, I mean, imagine the fun you could have.
Yeah, it's all yours, right? You don't have an usher telling you, hey, you can't do that on top of those seats.
Whatever you want to do, my friend.
Exactly.
Really? Anything?
Anything.
You bring your own cleaning supplies?
And sanitizer?
Doesn't everybody? I mean, that's just protocol.
Well, there was a time, that's for sure. We crosstalk with Carmen and Yurko in 2 minutes.